Scripture reading today is from the book of James. It's on page 1213 of the Church Bible. It's on page 1213, book of James, and verses from 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in thy distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
I don't get an awful lot out of my Bible. I pick it up, I read it for a while, and then I get stuck with lists of names. I do have a few favorite verses that I underline, a few parts that I like, but mostly I don't get an awful lot out of my Bible. Come to think of it, I don't get an awful lot out of the mirror in my bathroom either. I used to have an old one, and then I bought a modern one, but I still don't get an awful lot out of that bathroom mirror. I look at the mirror and I get told that my tie is not straight, that there's a mark on my cheek, and that my hair is all over the place. I wish. It's really down to the fact that I don't get an awful lot out of my bathroom mirror. Well, hold on one moment, you say. If you took the time and looked intently into that mirror with a view to see yourself as you really are, and then did something about what you see in the mirror, then perhaps you would stop coming out with this cliche, I don't seem to get very much out of it. Maybe I should stick a label over the top of my bathroom mirror, view with a view to review. View with a view to review. And come to think of it, maybe I should actually write that at the beginning of my Bible. View with a view to review. View the word with the intention of acting upon what I see and understand, reviewing my life with a view to changing my life. You see, that's what James is about, encouraging us to come to the Word of God and act upon what we see. Change our lives according to what it says. To read, to listen, and to do. Not just read, not just listen, but to actually do what it says. The problem James sees in the Christian is that they won't act upon what they see. But before we look at doing, there's another problem to deal with first that James takes up in this chapter. First of all, how to listen. Do you know what makes a good preacher? Good listeners. If you want to improve me as a preacher, become a better listener. And it'll be remarkable how much I'll change. Do you know anyone who buys electronic equipment or computer games or computer packages and charges straight in without reading the instructions? Probably most men. The old maxim goes something like this: if all else fails, read the instructions. As Christians, we're a bit like that. We feel that we have got so much expertise and experience and natural insight and intuition why we hardly need to consult the Bible at all or think of praying. I've heard sermons on all parts of the Bible. I don't think there's anything new out there for me. Not so, says James. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Be quick to listen to what? Be slow to speak about what? Be slow to become angry about what? The listening here means listening to the Word of God. Be quick to listen to the Word. Verse 19 is following on from the idea of the Word of Truth being the means of our new birth as Christians. He chose to give us birth through the Word of Truth. The Word of Truth was the means of our new birth, the means of our coming to Christ. Our listening to the Word. Verse 22 shows us that James is concerned about our listening, how we listen. He says, do not merely listen, but before he deals with that, he deals with what we should do as a result of listening. He wants to get us out of the starting blocks by getting us to listen in the first place, getting us to open up the instruction manual, to read it, to study it, and to see what it says. Because God's Word is God's Word, we should pay attention to it. And we won't pay attention to it unless we actually open it up and begin to read it. You should be reading the Bible. You should be studying the Bible to see what God says. Quick to listen to the Word, slow to speak about the Word, or perhaps slow to speak against the Word. Slow to become angry about the Word of God. An old commentator called Manton says that it is good to apply this verse to private conversation when people are full of talk themselves and cannot bear to listen to others and seek private revenge and anger. Two ears, one mouth. There's a lesson there. We should be quick to listen to what God says in His Word. The problem here is that Christians have a resistance to the Word. We don't want to hear it, especially if that Word challenges us. When it does challenge us, we can get angry about it. That's why James says at the end of 21 that we ought to humbly accept the Word planted in you that can save you. Quick to listen. We ought to be quick to listen to God's Word. There ought to be a readiness in our hearts. And we ought to be teachable. The older you become in the Christian faith, the less teachable you can become. You need to guard your heart against that. You know, I've heard it all before. We ought to pray that God will give us a teachable spirit, that we're willing to listen and to apply that Word to our lives, to have an eagerness to listen to what God is saying through His Word. When you come to church, how do you listen? Is there a readiness there to take in, to want to learn new things, or to learn again some old things? An appetite. A hunger. You know, I don't think I'll bother having lunch today because I had lunch yesterday. And as a matter of fact, I had lunch the day before. Maybe I'll not bother having lunch the rest of the week because I've seen it all before. But you need to feed daily. You need to feed daily upon the Word of God. Calvin says in this passage that you ought to render yourself teachable, lest your slowness should cause the Holy Spirit to, our God, to desist from speaking. James is saying that we should be eager, we should be attentive,
to take in that word. That kind of appetite comes from being in the Word. Your appetite for the Word of God grows the more you're in the Word of God. You hunger for more of what it is that God has to say. The Word of God is written that a child can paddle in it, and the greatest intellect can swim in it. There are treasures within the Word that will delight your heart and will enlarge your appreciation of Christ. I don't know how many thousand books I have on the Bible. But there's always still something to learn. Something new as you come to that Word. Some new challenge, some new encouragement, some new instruction. James then adds to his advice about being quick to listen to God's Word by saying that we ought to be slow to speak. Now this speaking out has got to do with speaking out when God is talking. When I used to attend lectures in Orlando, in Florida, it was usually men of a very high caliber that were brought along to teach us. And we were different ministers from all over the world, and we would come. And there was always an opportunity for students to ask questions and to make comments. But there was always a member of staff on hand to remind overly enthusiastic students that we have all come to listen to the lecturer and not really to the other students. You see, we could take up so much time trying to impress everyone else about how much we knew that we hardly give time for the lecturer to impart to us what he knows. And so it can be that we can be talking so much that we're not listening. One professor of church history usually started his lectures by saying that he said, "I am the lecturer and not you." We can talk so much, speak out so quickly, presume to know so much, be so impressed with our own wisdom that our noise thunders out the voice of God. Your nationality, your culture, your education, your temperament, those who influence you, the books that you read, all can have an impact on how your opinions are shaped. When we form those opinions, we're often pretty quick to voice them. To be slow to speak is to ensure that we bring all of those influences under the scrutiny of God's Word. The Irish have a reputation for being hot-headed, hot-tempered. If I lose my temper, it's not acceptable to say, "Oh, well, I'm Irish." It's not acceptable to say, "Oh, it's because of my upbringing." Whatever the influences that we have upon our life, we are responsible to bring those under the control of the Word of God. Slow to become angry. The anger here is not the word normally used for a kind of passionate outburst of anger in some kind of childish tantrum, but rather it is the deliberate, persistent attitude of hostility. And James is concerned with a hostility that is directed towards the Word of God. If life has made you into an angry, hostile person, if you're always looking to be difficult with others, bring that under the scrutiny of God's Word. Slow to become angry. Because human anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. A person's anger stops them from attaining God's righteousness and from doing what God requires of us in His Word, because we resist with this angry reaction to what God is saying in His Word. We're so busy voicing our own ideas and assessment of every situation that we no longer listen to what God is saying. In the general context of trial that drives us to the Word, let us be slow to speak. Let us be quiet so that we can have long enough to allow God's word to assess our lives, slow to become angry, because that attitude does not produce the righteousness that God requires or that God desires. God sends us a trial. God sends us a message in his word. The intention is that that might produce a righteous life. But our resistance prevents us from hearing what God has to say. Don't we act in anger against other people who have different views of the word of God? You could be assisting Satan by defending what is the truth, but doing it in an angry way. Use strong arguments, but soft words. How do we listen? How should we listen? Well, we should remove any barriers. Verse 21 says, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you." Of course, you can see what it is that causes us to resist the word of God. It's that moral filth and evil that is so prevalent in our lives. Now that almost sounds offensive, to talk about moral filth and evil that is so prevalent in our lives. If you get a feeling of disgust and revulsion about the words that James is using here, then you're off to a good start with the right idea. We must get rid of that, just like we would take off rotten and filthy garments. We've rolled in sinful humanity and contaminated ourselves right to the very core of our hearts. And James says, we ought to put that to the one side. We ought to take steps to get rid of it. We must humbly accept the word of salvation that applies to the whole person, applies to our heart, to our mind, to our words, to our attitudes. Why do I as a Christian come to church? Why do I listen to the word of God? Why will I feed on Christ in the sacrament? I attend to these means of grace in order that I might continue to be saved. I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. God is not finished with you yet. He continues to work in you. It wasn't that you became a Christian one day and then God left you on that road happily to go off on your own. He remains with us to improve us, to grow us in righteousness, and the means that he has to do that, or the means that he has given, is the word of God. But not only are we to hear and accept the word, we ought to do the word. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a person who looks at their face in a mirror and after having looked at themselves goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. How should I do? How should I do the word? Well, we should implement the change. Whatever it is that God says, that's what we should do. Now, in the evangelical church in Britain, we've got into a very bad habit of distinguishing between worship and teaching. I've heard some people say, you know, I go to this church because of the worship, but the teaching is better in this church, and so I come to the church for the teaching. From call to worship, that first verse that we read out at the beginning of the service, to benediction, it's all worship. How can I worship as I listen to God's word? By obeying it. We humbly resolve to do all those things that God has said. We implement the change. We do as it says. We're not just going to listen, but we will do. We ought to look into the word as we would look into a mirror to see ourselves so that we can change what we are. We are all in need of change. Do not merely listen, but to listen and do. If we are just hearers, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Memorizing the truth in any sermon is nowhere nearly important as actually realizing that truth. To realize the truth in the presence of God is to hear His word, to hear the voice of God challenge us, convict our hearts to the point that we will respond to do all those things that God has said. In this time of worship, we renew our vows to serve God, to implement His way and His truth in our lives. You may be a good listener to sermons, and any minister appreciates good listeners, but are you just listening and then going away and forgetting what it is that you see in the Word? Like a customer in the store approached by the assistant, "Can I help you choose?" "No thanks, just looking." "I've come to church. Can I help you this morning?" "Not really, just looking, just listening." The Christian is reading the Word, is approached by the Holy Spirit. "Can I help you change?" "No thanks, just listening." The superficial listener might well remember every point, every illustration, every turn of phrase, but if we are superficial in our listening, then we're like the person who looks at ourselves, looks at our reflection, and then immediately goes away and forgets what they look like. But not so the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Looking with intention is more than just reading a few passages each day. Here there is deep meditation and a diligent inquiry and a firm reserve that we will do all those things that God has said. As I explore the perfect law that gives freedom, I allow that law to explore me. We're such people of extremes that we're likely to take up this theme of doing and say, okay, if it's doing, then we've got to do well. I'm going to be into doing big time. James adds a corrective thought to that verse, to that notion in verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faithful is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This doing is immensely practical. The word religious is not really part of the parlance of an evangelical community. It's a word we're a little bit afraid of. But here it simply means That outward doing is a requirement that we should be religious, that we have duties to perform. But James has something important to add. Outward doing on its own is not enough. There must be that inward control. James has come full circle here. We began by seeing that we ought to listen to God's word, to look intently into that word, to perform that reflection, and to implement the change in our lives. We have to act and do. Now James says that doing on its own is not enough. There must be a control in our lives. And the control of the tongue is the index of whether or not there is that inner control is functioning or not. If the tongue is not controlled, then we have to ask about the sincerity of all our other religious activities. When the tongue is out of control, it's usually because it is driven by a self-serving heart. James is saying here that the tongue serves as a gauge that indicates the kind of person that we are. Finally, we see how it is that we should be serving others. Balanced religion is this, that we look after those in need, orphans and widows in this case. The orphans and widows are just one example of a larger category of social needs. And we as individuals and as a church have a responsibility to care for those in need. You say that just means the needs within the church. It doesn't. If that's the case, then why the warning to keep yourselves from being polluted by the world? We're out there working in the world. And because we're working in the world, we can become polluted by the world. You see, we have to exercise internal and external control. How many non-Christians are you in touch with? How many are you prepared to go out of your way to help? How many would you be prepared to invite to a Christianity Explored session? James is saying something like this: the outward bit, the religious bit of our lives, it ought to be there. That outward bit comes from an inward conviction that is controlled by the Word of God. The outward bit that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is that we look after the needy and keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. What work with other people did God approve of in your life last week? And what will He approve this week? I love Christ, you say. I love the Lord, you say. James is saying, those are just words. Obedience is love for Christ. Looking after the needy, go and get to know them, make friends with them, and as a friend, then share with them the message of the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the word. Do the word. And through this, God continues to save us. He has given us His word for a reason. We ought to see what He's saying. We ought to pay attention to what He says. We need to be people of the word.